Steve. Appreciate that very good job of reading the scripture there from Luke, the 12th chapter. Appreciate it, the presence of each and every one. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep your Bibles opened up there to Luke chapter 12. We're going to spend the majority of our time there this afternoon taking a look at what is commonly known to us as the parable of the rich fool. Those of you that were here this morning, you recalled that we took some time to examine the parable of the unforgiving servant. And as we talked about this morning, Jesus often spoke parables to his disciples as a way to illustrate some very valuable lessons. We talked about some very valuable lessons that can be gained from the parable of the unforgiving servant this morning. And this afternoon, we're going to take just a few moments to take a look at some very valuable lessons that can be gained from the parable of the rich fool. We see that this parable begins similar to the way that the parable of the unforgiving servant began. We talked this morning how the parable of the unforgiving servant began by a question presented to Jesus by Peter. Peter, he wanted to know what the standard of forgiveness was, right? And Jesus responded to him by illustrating that parable of the unforgiving servant. Here in Luke 12, we see where there was one from the crowd who came to Jesus. And he came to Jesus asking him to help him acquire his rightful share of his inheritance. Simply put, he wanted Jesus to help him deal with a family issue, to resolve a family issue in regard to inheritance. However, Jesus goes on to tell him there in verse 14, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Simply put, Jesus is letting him know, hey, what business is that of mine? I have no business concerning that. But here's the thing. The problem was Jesus saw a spiritual issue within this man that needed to be addressed, didn't he? Jesus, he saw that this man was putting more issues on material possessions rather than upon matters of greater importance. And it is because of that that we go on to see where Jesus speaks this parable to him. And that's where we can learn our first lesson from the parable. We learn our first lesson to what led up to this parable. And that is, we need to learn to beware of covetousness. You see, Jesus, he noticed that this certain man from the crowd, his focus was upon an inheritance. It was upon material possessions. Possessions that didn't even belong to him, but yet he wanted to have his share of that. And Jesus speaks this parable to help warn men about the dangers of covetousness. You see, covetousness, it is defined as a strong or eager desire for wealth and possessions. This man from the crowd, he had that eager desire for his part of his inheritance, didn't he? He wanted his part of his inheritance. And we see here that Jesus, he tells him in verse 15, after he made it very clear to him, hey, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? He then said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Why, Jesus? Well, notice, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Here Jesus is warning about the dangers of covetousness. He's telling them to beware of covetousness. And by the way, brethren, when you see the word beware in the scriptures, pay attention. Pay attention, because it's a warning concerning danger. And the danger that Jesus is warning about here is about the dangers of covetousness. And he goes on to let it be made known that one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. We need to be mindful of the dangers of covetousness. And as Jesus said, we too need to take heed and beware of covetousness. And we need to keep in mind the words of the Hebrews writer, found there in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Notice that with me. Here in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse number 5, the words of the Hebrews writer there are recorded, "Let your conduct be what? Without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have." Hold on to those inspired words of the Hebrews writer. And always strive to let your conduct be without covetousness. And seek to be a people who are content with such things as you have. But another lesson that we can learn from the parable of the rich fool is we can learn from this parable that true security is not in material wealth and possessions. Notice this again with me, the parable picking up in verse 16. Let's read through 21, this whole parable again. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' Verse 20, 'But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" You see, if you noticed, this rich man, he thought he was good for many years, didn't he? He thought, as we see there in verse 19, that he had many goods laid up for many years. So he was going to be able to just take it easy and eat, drink, and be merry. He thought that he had true security in his possessions, didn't he? However, he's going to go on to find out that true security is not in possessions, is it? True security is not in material wealth and possessions. And as we go on to see here, dropping down there to verse 20, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, but as we see here, the question was proposed to him, "Whose will those things be which you have provided?" Have you ever thought about that before? Have you ever thought about the fact that there is no true security in material wealth and possessions simply because of the fact that they're going to be left behind when your days on this earth come to an end? And then whose will they be after that? You ever thought about that? You see, we do learn that one's possessions will be left behind to those who come after them. The wise man informed us about this in the book of Ecclesiastes. Turn there with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and notice verse number 18 with me. There the wise man said, "Then I hated all my labor in which I toiled under the sun." Why? Well, notice. "Because I must leave it to the man who will come after me." Think about that. Yes, it's good to be able to enjoy our possessions, our material possessions that we have labored for, why we are here upon this earth, and why we have the time to enjoy them. That's good. We should enjoy them. But here's the thing. We must not put our security in them. Because true security is not immaterial wealth and possessions. For as we learn, when one's days on this earth come to an end, those possessions and wealth will be left to another. So remember that. Don't be like this rich fool. This rich fool who imagined that he can control his life and that his life was under control due to his many possessions. Don't be like him. But rather remember that you brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. We learn about that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's a typo there on the screen there. But there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice with me, beginning here in verse number 6. these words of Paul. He says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Now pay attention to verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. Again, we need to be mindful of the fact that all our possessions will someday be left to another. There is not one material possession that we're going to be able to take with us when we depart from this life. You've heard the illustration before, I venture to say, about how you never see any U-Hauls following a hearse. And why is that? It's because it's not needed. It's not needed. You can't take your stuff with you. And we need to be mindful of that. And we need to understand, as this parable teaches, that true security is not in material wealth and possessions. But another valuable lesson that we can gain from this parable is we can learn the need to trust in God and not in uncertain riches. Did you notice, as we read through that parable, did you notice how this rich man was self-centered? Did you notice all the times that he said, I, me, or my, mine? Did you notice that? It's about a dozen times. About a dozen times in this parable that this rich fool refers to I, my, or mine. That tells us something about him, doesn't it? It tells us that he was very self-centered. But it also tells us something, too. It tells us that he wasn't putting his trust in God, was he? But where was he putting his trust in? Self and uncertain riches. Again, we need to be mindful of the fact that one who is not rich toward God is a fool. He's a fool. As we see here in verse number 20 of this parable, after this rich man alluded to himself, and after he shows himself to be self-centered and shows himself to be putting more trust in his uncertain riches than anything else, it is said there in verse 20, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. He goes on to say in verse 21, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Did you know that? Did you know that one who is not rich toward God is a fool? You see, this rich man was referred to as a fool because he only prepared for the now rather than the now after. He was only preparing for the now. He wasn't preparing for what would come after. And we see here that this rich man in this parable, by the way, this rich man in this parable, he would be the envy of most people today, wouldn't he? Many people today would envy this man in this parable, right? I mean, think about it. This man, he had such prosperity. Such prosperity that he didn't even have enough room to store his goods. But yet he was a fool. Because in the midst of his goods, he lost sense of what is really important. Did you notice how many times he mentioned God in this parable? How many times did this rich man mention God or refer to God? Not a one. Not a one. Not one time did he think about God. And that is why one who is not rich toward God is a fool. because they lose sense of what is really important. It's a tragedy, isn't it? But it's reality. Not only do we see it being reality, being depicted in this parable, but we can even see it in the 21st century in which we live today. How many people do you know, brethren, that are like this rich fool that we're reading about in this parable today? How many people do you know who want to put a sense of security in material wealth and possessions? And who are so self-centered and want to focus upon their possessions and getting more possessions, but yet they lose a sense of what is most important. That is God and serving Him. I venture to say you probably know some like that, right? But we need to recognize, as is mentioned here in this parable, that one who is not rich toward God is a fool. And we need to understand the need not to trust in uncertain riches, but the need to trust in the one true living God. That is exactly what the inspired apostle encouraged Timothy to tell those who were rich in the first century. Notice this with me, going back there to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And going back there to 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning there in verse number 17, notice Paul's instruction to Timothy. He said, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust, now pay attention, in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Why, Paul? Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Did you catch that? Paul said, you command those who are rich not to be haughty or to trust in uncertain riches, but that they put their trust in the one true living God. And he tells them why when he says, for it is He who is the one who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He goes on to say in verse number 18, let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Hold on to those inspired words, my beloved brethren. Don't be a fool. Don't be one who is not rich toward God. Don't be one who puts your trust in uncertain riches, but rather be one who puts your trust where your trust needs to be. And that is in the one true living God. The great I Am. The creator and sustainer of all. The one who gives us richly all things to enjoy. But here's another lesson that can be gained from the parable. And that is, we learn there in verse number 20. The fact that this certain man's soul was required of him that very night. You see, as we've talked about this afternoon, this rich man, he was putting his trust in uncertain riches. He thought he had true security in his possessions. But what he didn't realize was the fact that he wasn't the one who was in control, but rather God is in control. And what he didn't account for is the fact that his soul could be required of him at any time. And we learn here in verse number 20 that very night his soul was required of him. You see, the fact of the matter is, we can see from this parable that our soul will someday be required of us. When will our soul someday be required of us? That we do not know. We don't know the exact day, the exact hour when our soul will be required. But we do know that there's going to come a day when our soul will likewise be required of us. And that's the question that I now want to present to you. Would you be ready Would you be ready if your soul was required of you this very night? Would you? You see, because it's very possible that your soul may be required of you this very night. We learn there in Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Hebrews chapter 9. And there in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning there in verse number 27, it is recorded. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. You see, we learn here in verse number 27 that all men have an appointment with death. He says it's appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. He goes on to say in verse 28, he reassures us of the fact that even if we may not experience physical death, that Christ is going to appear a second time. And we need to be ready for that. And I want you to think about that. What if your soul was required of you this night? What if you physically died this night? Would you be ready? But even more, what if our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ appeared this very night? Would you be ready? Would you? Think about that. You see, because as we're about to sing in just a moment, there is a great day coming. There's a great day coming when our Lord and Savior will appear a second time, as we learned here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, apart from sin for salvation. And we need to be ready for that great day. We need to be ready for that judgment day in which we all must give an account for the things that we have done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. So what if? What if that would happen this very night? Would you be ready? Would you? You see, I hope we all will take heed to the valuable lessons that we've discussed this afternoon from the parable of the rich fool. And I hope that we all will always strive to be one who is without covetousness, one who is rich toward God, and one who is always prepared to meet thy God, knowing that someday each and every one of our souls will be required of us. So again, I ask the question, are you ready? Are you? If not, you can become prepared this very hour. For you have heard the word of God, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins, and you can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. You can be ready. You can be prepared for that great day. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent. You're encouraged to confess your sins to God. And you're encouraged to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here, we'd be more than happy to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this evening, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now, while making your way toward the front, while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.